Hello and welcome back to Brand Pitch. Today I'm joined by Jeroen Hertzberger. He has over 250 caps for the Netherlands. He was regarded by many as one of the last few true maverick hockey players, someone who can confront defenders, cause problems, and single-handedly turn a game on its head. He has won 16 major international medals, including two European championships, but most importantly, he has recently been named Simon Webb Photography's best hair in hockey.
So firstly, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start off with Hertzberger TV. I think it's absolutely great. I refer people to it all the time when I'm trying to teach technical skills. What made you want to start the Hertzberger TV channel?
Well, I really felt like I wanted to do something with all the stuff that I had learned over the, what was it back then? I think 16 years in high level hockey. And there were just, I was getting so many questions from people about little tips and tricks on how do you do this, how do you do that, and how do you deal with this, how do you deal with pressure, how do you deal with big games. And so there's like the mental side of it, and then there's the hockey side of it. And then I just thought, like, how good would it be if there was a YouTube channel where you could just get these little tutorials? And I always kept thinking that why don't we have this in the hockey world? Well, there's some people who had been doing it, but I really wanted to deliver like this video and audio of like the highest level, because I didn't want to be using my iPhone and filming, and I just wanted things to be really tight and of high quality. And so I just thought, you know what, I'd like to start off. I was inspired by Tuzani TV. He's a guy who does it in the football world, and he does like a lot of tutorials, but he also does a lot of interviews with other top players. And he was sort of my inspiration, and I just thought, okay, let's just go for it and see how it goes. And yeah, it just grew really quickly, and yeah, now we're the biggest in the world, doing field hockey tutorials with over 75,000 subscribers. So that's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, and you touched on it there. The production quality on Hertzberger TV is really high.
Yeah.
Is that all done by yourself? Have you got people who come and help out?
In the beginning, I did all the editing myself, but I've always had the same cameraman. And it's actually really cool because we've sort of been on this journey together. His name is Ruud, and he does a lot of hockey photos as well. He's a really good photographer, one of the best that I know of, and he likes to come watch our team at Rotterdam, and his son plays there as well. And I knew he was he was available as a cameraman. He does some work for the Dutch news and stuff, so he's got all the gear. And I asked him, would you like to help me out? And actually since then, he's been doing all the camera work. And as you can see, he's really good. And then there's this, like I said, the editing I did myself for the first 2 years. And then I jumped on with a editing company just around the corner here and made me a good deal on editing per episode. And it takes them not as much time as it took me. So that's pretty much it. And it was really an important thing for me, because if you want to explain something, the audio needs to be perfect. You need to be able to see from all angles. You need to see slow motion shots and also normal speed. So yeah, put together like a little template, and I've been actually hanging on to that ever since. And the only thing I've been sort of playing around with was the duration of the video. So I've been on 10 minutes, I've been on 3 minutes, I've been on 5 minutes, and yeah, just see what the people like. And some tutorials are easy to go for 5-6 minutes because there's so much to talk about and we really have to cut off a lot of stuff. Because I want to keep it dynamic and snappy. And then there's some that you can actually get through in 3 minutes. I think it doesn't really matter what the length is, as long as there's the consistency of posting every week and giving the people what they want.
With that, like you say, you post every week. How long do you think you can keep that going with new content?
Well, actually, as a matter of fact, I'm actually thinking of posting more. So I'd like to maybe shorten up some videos. And but then again, I don't want to go away from the quality of actually explaining the technique. So the shorter you go, the less explanation there is. I think it all kind of depends. I do think if you go twice a week, say up to about 100 videos a year, then I think people can really get engaged. And also YouTube doesn't mind. But it's also a matter of having the time to do it. I mean, I have a busy life, so it's hard for me to go to the pitch every day and record. Obviously, my cameraman is not someone who is waiting around for me to ask him. He's a busy man as well. Just thinking about some new stuff for the upcoming season, maybe trying to get in some new things, maybe some more getting to know players and things like that. maybe some more crazy challenges, not only explanational videos like tutorials, like on skills or shooting techniques or scoring techniques or specialities, but also maybe some more digging deeper and finding out what people's mindsets are and things that I guess there's so many different things you can do on a YouTube channel, as long as field hockey is the main thing, because that's the reason why people tune in, because they love the sport and so do I. So I mean, it's hard to get up to one video every week, obviously with a busy schedule. But I really try and get more than 45 a year in there. And then I think, I think that's the way it should be. Yeah.
No, it's like I say, I think it's fantastic. You've recently launched the Hertzberger TV Premium. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So the thing with Premium is that it was never on my mind to actually offer a premium product besides the free channel. But I'm getting so many questions, and I'm actually quite impressed by in how many countries in the world hockey is being played, because I get questions from Kenya, I get questions from Tibet, I get them from the countries where you wouldn't expect that they play hockey. But hockey is really being played all over the world. And there's just so many young, ambitious players who really want to improve, and they really want more content, extra content on the things I'm posting on the Hertzberger TV YouTube channel, that I thought, okay, how cool would it be is if I could make a course, because like I said, there's kids around the world that really want to improve as a player, but they don't have the facilities, and they don't have the trainers to actually teach them. So there's the know-how is in certain spots in the world when it comes to hockey. And there's just so many areas in the world where they really lack the explaining part and the coaching part and the training part. And what do I train every day if I want to improve? And because I got so many questions, I thought, okay, this is something I have to sort of get into, because obviously on YouTube, I don't want to go too long. I want to keep it fresh. And then I thought, okay, what if I just make an online course? I mean, it sounds strange, because usually an online course, you're learning as you're doing it. But now someone can actually grab an iPad or an iPhone, and they can enroll into the course, and then they can go to the pitch, and they can literally just straight away go and try and do stuff. It's right up my street. I mean, I feel like when I'm explaining it, it just comes naturally, the things I've learned in the last 20 years. And I've always been thinking about, okay, how cool would it have been if I was 18 or 20 years old and I could have enrolled into one of these online courses? It would have helped me so much going into my career. So yeah, I really wanted to go into more detail, and I really wanted to get to like the center part of, okay, what does it all come down to when you're actually training or when you're practicing for yourself, and how can you really help other players to become not only a better hockey player but also a smarter hockey player? So obviously people are always thinking about stats and things like that, and people are always thinking about results, but people don't always think about the little habits you have to create that lead to results. So I like to go one step back and see if I can help people, give them some tools and some tips and some tricks to really improve their game. So yeah, I'm working on about 3 or 4 online courses right now. I've launched one of them, which is obviously more a striker course or an offensive midfielder course for shooting, scoring, and positioning. But I'm also working on a speciality course for drag flicks, for shootouts, and also other specialities like overheads and injecting and trapping PCs. I'm also working on one that's full on elimination. So how do I eliminate a player? How do I use 3D skills? How do I go around someone? How do I go through someone? And what are the ways to do that? And then there's also one on elite defending, because obviously I'm an attacker and defending is not my favorite thing in the world. However, I do realize that there are a lot of defenders in the world who would like to get more tips and tricks on how to become an elite defender. So yeah, I mean, there's I have 4 or 5 courses lined up, and they're under construction. So I hope that within the next few months, I can offer 4 or 5 online courses for any hockey player in the world at any age or any coach that wants to gain knowledge on that area. So yeah, that's pretty much the goal when it comes to premium. We have to see how it goes. I have to say it's been received really well, and I'm selling online courses all over the world, which I'm really happy with. Sold one to New Zealand this morning. So I think that's just really cool. That's exactly why I wanted to do this. Anywhere in the world, you can enroll to my courses. So yeah, and I really like the product. I have to say my first course, it has like 30 lessons. There's quizzes in there. There's explainer videos, some game footage of mine where I explain why I position myself in certain spots so that I think I can score, why I use a certain technique. So why would you, if you're with your back to the goal, why would you hit the forehand? Why would you hit the backhand? When do you choose to hit a hammer shot? When do you flick a goal? When do you slap a goal? When do you hit a goal? All these choices you have to make in a game, I think it's important to think about it, because the more you think about it and the more experience you gain, the better choices you can make in the game. So yeah, it's just really cool. There's 2.5 hours of online video learning content. So yeah, I really like the product, the one we made now. So I'm looking forward to making new ones as well, and hoping to see the hockey world receive it as a cool thing, as a cool product. Yeah.
And aside from the courses that you've got coming out, where else do you see the premium Hertzberger TV going?
Well, I see one of my strengths has always been my mindset. So I really understand that when it comes to high performance sports, the mentality side and the mindset part and the power of mental strength is really going to determine so much in someone's hockey career. So in the long run, I'd like to dig deeper into like an athlete mindset, which I think is really interesting. And I think it's also my unique selling point as a player. Being disappointed with how sometimes you get these things in your career where you miss a tournament or you get dropped from a squad, all these things. You have to take some punches in your career, and the way you respond to them is really important. And that's something that I find really interesting. I'd also like to look at the physical side of the game. So I'm thinking about making an online course on how to get fit for hockey in 6 weeks. So yeah, not only the hockey part could be interesting when it comes to the premium, Hertzberger TV Premium, but also the physical side and also the mental side of things. So yeah, and if it catches on, then yeah, I mean, the content is endless. I mean, my biggest dream is to do like a month trip to India and then make videos with a couple of my friends that live in India or top Indian players, and really try and help make fun content, especially for people in India, because there's so many people that watch my channel there. So I'd love to do a tour to India for Hertzberger TV one day. That'd be really cool. And just trying to inspire the younger hockey generation all over the world. That's pretty much what I want to do. And I'm going to keep doing it anyway. So even if it becomes a business or not, or if it's a very valuable business or not, doesn't really matter, because I just really enjoy it. So I'm always going to be doing that.
No, that all sounds great. So with the idea of growing into all aspects of the game, so the mental side, the physical side, as well as the technical side, would you see getting more players coming on to talk with you about those aspects? So like the mental side, how do you prepare for like a shootout, for example? So you could have yourself covering the attacker side and bring on a goalkeeper to discuss how the two contrast, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't have all the knowledge, especially also when it comes to certain specialities. I mean, I know how to drag flick, but I don't know how to trap a ball. I don't know how to inject a ball. And I'm also not the best over aerial scoop guy. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. That is something I'd really like to do. I'd like to bring in players that can share their expertise when it comes to certain aspects of the game. And yeah, that is also definitely something I'd like to start doing, maybe in a podcast form. So I've recently released my free ebook, and it's called The 11 Principles to Success in High Performance Sports. And I'm really happy with that as well. It's also sort of the first step to looking at, okay, what does it really take on a mental side to perform in high performance? And these 11 principles is something I'd like to chat about with other athletes as well, maybe in a podcast form, maybe in a video, I'm not sure, but it's definitely something I'd like to start doing. And like you said, it'd be really interesting to talk about shootouts and then take the goalie's point of view and then do a video on that. So like I said, the content is really endless, and I'm really looking forward to making cool content in the future. I have to say, with things like shootouts and drag flicks, it's always been kind of tough to give away secrets because I was still playing at the highest level. I didn't want to tell the whole world what I think about or what I do during shootouts, because then goalkeepers will be watching and they're like, okay, thanks for the free advice, Jeroen. So now I'm heading towards the end of my career. Then at a certain point, it's fine. I can share everything I know. And I think in the end of the day, everyone will appreciate any kind of extra knowledge when it comes to hockey. So looking forward to that, definitely.
So you've just kind of touched on it there. You feel like you're getting towards the end of your playing career. Are you going to move across into a coaching role, do you think?
I don't know. I think it's something I could be good at and I could enjoy. But then again, I'm also very loyal and there's only one club that I really love, and that's Rotterdam. So I don't know if I could have that passion for another club. It maybe sounds a bit stupid, but I think when you go for something like a playing career or a coaching career, you really need to have you need to be emotionally involved. That's the way I feel about these kind of things. I think emotion is and the desire and the dedication and the passion you have for a certain club or country, I think it plays an enormous role in your motivation and discipline. And you have to, when you wake up, you have to think about it. When you go to bed, you have to think about it. It needs to be top of mind 24/7. And that's, I think, the only way you can maximize your performance. And as a coach, obviously, I guess you could be like the Alex Ferguson type of guy and be there for 20 years. But I don't see the guarantee in being a good coach if you've been a good player. So I don't want to be naive in that as well. Will I always be involved with my club? Definitely in some way or the other. I obviously have a son that loves playing hockey, so I'd love to help out on his teams because I just really, that means I can always watch him play. I don't know. Maybe. I'm not going to say no. I'd like to share my knowledge around the world, that's for sure. So maybe in a different form, maybe coming in for a week and helping out, maybe doing little workshops or masterclasses, things like that. So I'm definitely open for it, but I'm not going to give it 100% yes yet.
Okay. And also, you've mentioned it there, your long membership at Rotterdam. 2002, I believe you joined?
Yeah, so I joined 2002 and I played the under-18s for one season. And then in 2003, I think my debut was the year before. And then since then, I was in the senior men's team. Yeah.
So what is it about Rotterdam that made you stay at that club for so long?
Yeah, I don't know. They just sort of always given me the feeling that I'm in the best hockey place in the world. I don't know how they did it, but ever since I was there, they had just built a new club in 2001. And it was just the most amazing hockey stadium I'd ever seen. And they had 7 pitches, which I'd also never seen in my life. They had 3 water-based pitches and 4 sand. The most amazing clubhouse, the most amazing grandstand. Like everything's cool about it. And every time I arrived at the club, I just felt an amazing connection with everyone there, whether it was the groundsman or whether it was people working in the office or it was people behind the bar or working in the restaurant. Just like I said, I was a young guy who really wanted to become a really good hockey player. And the club always gave me the feeling and the confidence that the best place to develop myself was at Rotterdam. So yeah, I got some offers in the during the last 15, 20 years, but I really never took them serious because I don't know, I just felt like Rotterdam was doing well. We had a mission. Obviously, I could have left to some other clubs and got some more titles, but the only titles that I really valued would be the ones with Rotterdam. And we've won the league once in 2013 and I got a couple of silver medals. But I just really love the club. And it's my town. I was born here. And I don't know, I just, I didn't really feel like it could be better anywhere else. So even in the lower parts, every time, also at a certain point, you get so connected to your team that when you don't perform well, you don't think about leaving the club. You think about, okay, I'm responsible for this dip. So what am I going to do to make it better? And I think, that's the feeling I've always had, certain responsibility for how the team performs. And I mean, it's been amazing. I mean, it's been 20 years and I have one more year contract and then we'll see what happens.
Okay. So in that time at Rotterdam, who has been your favorite teammate?
Oh, wow. That's tough. There's a couple of guys that have been with me for a long time. But the first thing that jumps into mind is what I really loved about playing for Rotterdam in the first, I have to say it right, I came in 2003. In the first 9 years, I played with both my brothers. And that's something which was really special. I mean, I've had amazing teammates. I have a couple of my best friends are guys I played with for over 10 years. And there's been some players from the international hockey scene who have been amazing to play with, and also from the Dutch national team. But the fact that I play with my brothers for 9 years at the highest level, playing EHL and the Hoofdklasse in top three, yeah, it was just unbelievable. And I, obviously in 2013, we won the league. And then my eldest brother, he decided to retire right after the game. So it was kind of epic. And yeah, I just, for me, that's really special. I mean, I'm a loyal guy, so obviously family plays an important role. I come from a really big family. We have about 22 now with all the kids in there. And yeah, we're really close. So yeah, that's, I have to say, that was probably the most fun to do. And obviously we weren't all nice to each other all the time. I mean, me and my brothers, we could scream at each other at halftime. I mean, that's the way it goes, you know? I mean, we're not playing for fun, we're playing for results. And my brothers and I are really competitive. So yeah, I look back at a great time playing with them for 9 years.
And would you say that's been your playing highlight at the club? Or would you say it would be another time?
Well, there's been many highlights. I mean, you always look at the team you have and how you should perform and how you want to perform. I mean, obviously the title was the main highlight. I mean, we'd been working for that for so long, and we only came into the Hoofdklasse 8 years before that. So we went from promoting to the Hoofdklasse and winning the actual thing in 8 years, which is a really unique performance. There's no clubs that have done that in the past. So yeah, we're really proud of that. And that 2013 title was obviously a real highlight. But there's been some other years as well. I really enjoyed the last season because we came from a ninth spot last year, being the worst result in history. And then, well, not in history because they've relegated as well, but like in the last 20 years since I've been there, that ninth spot was the worst result. And this year, I felt we played some of the best hockey we've played in the last 20 years. So we made a major swing from being the worst result to being maybe even the best result, even though we didn't win the league, but we played some of the best hockey that I've seen in Rotterdam first men's team in a long time. So yeah, there's many highlights.
Excellent. And who would you say is your favorite opposition at club level? This can be either another club or it can be a specific player.
I always enjoy playing Amsterdam because it's always a real open game, and they're really good games as well. I can remember some amazing games against them in the last 15 years. I think there was a 6-6 last season. We've beaten them away 7-6. It's always big scores against them because they love to attack as well. So I always say to someone who wants to come watch a game, is that if I were you, I would come watch the Rotterdam Amsterdam game. Also because it's a huge rivalry. It's the two biggest cities in Holland playing against each other. So yeah, that's always fun to play against. Also probably because they give away a lot of space, which makes it easy to play. And yeah, for the rest, I mean, all the big games are fun to play. I mean, playing the traditional top three, Kampong, Bloemendaal, Amsterdam, are always a lot of fun to play. It's actually a dodgy question because you prefer to play against someone who you think you can beat, but you also want to get challenged at the high level. So that's why it's an interesting question. Like, who's your favorite opponent? Yeah, obviously, I mean, I could say one of the bottom teams because it's easy to score 100 goals. But no, I really like the contest. I think there's no bit better feeling than losing 2-0 at halftime and winning 3-2. I think that's something unique that you're not going to find anywhere. So yeah, I always enjoy the big games. And I enjoy the big games where it's not a tactical game of chess. That's the ones I like. I don't like the half court versus half court. I don't like the smart, like conservative play and all based on getting the results. I like an open game. So I'd rather win 5-4 than 1-0. And all defenders are going to hate me for saying that, which is fine. But yeah, I mean, it's one of the things I said when I was young. Whenever people come watch me play or watch my team play, I want them to think, okay, why did I come here? And I want them to be on the edge of their seat. So, I mean, we're not a circus. We're not entertaining. Like, we're not bouncing balls up and down. But I really feel like if you go to a stadium and you're going to watch a game or something, whether it's football, basketball, anything, you want to get entertained and you want to feel like people are doing stuff that is unique. So that's why I always am a fan of going all in and going for every opportunity and going towards goal as fast as you can, because in the end of the day, people want to see goals. So, yeah.
And talking about your playing career, obviously you've represented your country numerous times. What's your favorite place or your favorite country to play an international game?
Apart from Holland itself, because the World Cup 2014 was amazing because we were in Holland and the fans were unreal. We made the final, and which obviously lost, but it was still a really cool experience. And they turned a football stadium into a hockey stadium. So it was the first time in Holland, the second time in Holland that happened, but the first time I'd experienced it. And there were like 15,000 people, which for hockey is huge. And then so that was really cool. And for the rest, India is obviously, I mean, there's nothing like India. There's just, you could go to Buenos Aires, you could go to Sydney, you could go to New York, you could go to London, you could go anywhere in the world. And in the end of the day, it's all quite similar. But then you go to India and it's just, it's completely, feels like you're in a different planet. And I really appreciate all the times that I was able to go to India, because they're also just crazy hockey fans. I remember one of my first experiences in the Dutch national team was in 2009. I was in 2007 and we had Beijing, and then 2009 we went to India for a Four Nations Cup. It was the first time I played in a big stadium in India. There were 30,000 people in one of these concrete stadiums, and it was just unbelievable. We were beating India 2-0, and then they scored 3 goals in 5 minutes. And I had never heard so much noise coming off a stadium as when I was, we could have been 2 meters apart and you couldn't understand what I was saying. And it was unbelievable. And it was just, it's such an amazing experience. There's just this pure sense of, for hockey in India, and people are so respectful for anyone that plays the game. And I really like that. And I really appreciate all my friends I've made in India from the India national team, and also people around playing the Hockey India League in the past. Yeah, I have to say, India is an amazing place to play. But for example, I always really enjoy playing in Australia. I really like the atmosphere that is around the ground there as well. It's it's competitive, but it's fair, and so it's a lot of fun to be there in Australia as well. So I'm going to say Holland, India, and Australia are the coolest places to play hockey. Yep.
And you touched on the Hockey India League there.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk of that coming back. Okay. Are you going to put your name forward for it if it does come back in the next couple of years?
I don't know. I think if it's possible with everything going on back here, obviously I have 3 kids now and some more responsibilities, so I can't just take off for 6 weeks whenever I like. But if it's a possibility, I would definitely go. Yes. It was one of the greatest experiences I've had. I mean, they just really put it down as an amazing league, and they... It was really professional, and it was also at a really high level. So it was a lot of fun. So when I get the opportunity, I would definitely go for it. Yeah, if I get the opportunity.
Okay, just to wrap up talking about your playing career. Obviously, you've been with Rotterdam for 20 plus years. In that time, you said you've had offers. Looking back in hindsight, is there any that you kind of think, I didn't take it because I want to stay at this club? Mm-hmm. But that would have been a cool team to be part of.
I mean, just before Bloemendaal went on that streak and won 5 league titles in a row, they asked me to join as well, which I didn't at the time because their coach, I had a feeling he was going to be the next Dutch national team coach. So if I would have gone there, then within a year, he would have been gone. And I was living in Rotterdam and I didn't feel like I wanted to move towards Amsterdam. I wanted to stay in Rotterdam because I was living in a student house with a lot of my friends. And so I could have done that. That would have been a cool team to be a part of, because then I think Denoyer was there, Jamie Dwyer was there, and then at a certain point the Zeller brothers came in as well. And they were just, yeah, they were just a complete machine and unbeatable. But yeah, I don't look back saying, oh, I regret not doing that. Not at all. I was offered a Spanish adventure once, a three-year deal in Madrid, which I didn't go for, which would have been cool. So sometimes I feel like I should have done that, because that would have I think that would have been a cool experience. I mean, I've never played in the Spanish league, so I can't say anything about the level or the atmosphere. But yeah, I think a three-year adventure going abroad is always good for anyone, just to develop yourself as well. Yeah, for the rest, most of the other offers were more in Holland. So yeah, I don't really have any regrets there, no. But yeah, there were some cool offers in there, definitely.
Okay. And now, talking about the hockey world in general. So you see a lot of stuff on social media about the dangers of penalty corners. As a top level drag flicker, what are your thoughts?
The danger for the drag flicker or the danger for the players?
So the majority of the stuff is around the danger towards defenders, but I've also seen a lot of people talking about as they don more and more protective equipment, it then becomes dangerous to the attacking team as well if there's any collisions.
Yeah.
Especially with the first runner getting so close to the drag flicker.
Yeah, so the problem with the penalty corner is because it's such a fixed, the positions are so fixed, it's quite easy to anticipate on what's going to happen. And because you can anticipate, you can also sort of think a few seconds ahead. And that's when people, they try and get smart, but that's also when people get hurt. So people know players are going to come in rebounding. People know the drag flicker is going to flick the ball in certain spots. And the runners, they can do things to anticipate. And that's when usually people get hurt. For me, the main thing is that the players stay protected. And that you really don't allow people to get involved in dirty play. So I've seen moments where someone's running in and people are just waiting for them to come and they turn their shoulder and then they just smack them down. And I think these are the type of things we have to be really, really focused on and really just like be really hard with the suspensions on players that do this. Because if you don't, then people are always going to try and push the limit, and then people are going to seriously get hurt. I mean, I've seen people breaking their legs because they're trying to slide in to tip the ball, and someone else just thinks, okay, I know what you're going to do. I'm just going to smack you, or I'm going to turn my body, and then they end up breaking their legs. Yeah, I mean, it's a really tough conversation because obviously the penalty corner is unique, and you wouldn't want to get rid of anything, but you also can't tell players to defend in a soft way. So it's a really tough discussion. I think you just have to really focus on, I mean, if you want to run like a tight line as a runner, if you want to run, we call it suicide run, which is not a very fun name, but that's what we call it, or down the barrel, as I think people say. I think it's at own risk. And I think we really just have to see, like, if you're trying to anticipate on something and you miss the ball and you get the player, then I think you should be punished in a way that you would get punished as if it's a one-on-one on the midfield. I mean, if you try and run at me on the midfield and I throw the ball past you and you just body check me, you're going to go out for 10 minutes with a yellow. And I think that's just the stuff we need to be doing. And I think the best way to get rid of this behavior is if no one gets away with anything. So I'm just talking on the offensive side and the defensive side. So if there is a video umpire on most games, then I think you can really check on what people's natural behavior is and how people try and anticipate. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, you can't get rid of the penalty corner. There's other situations in the game where people get hurt as well. But the game always develops. And I feel like at the moment we're still okay. I think it's not that bad. I think we just need to be careful with the runners. And we need to be careful with people getting hurt when running into the D or when they're defending. So I think at the moment we're still quite okay, but we have to watch out that we don't try and push our limits because hockey's been so full of innovation that people are always going to look for loopholes to try and profit off things, whether it's protective gear, whether it's goalkeepers running out, whatever, you know. So, yeah, you just have to make sure that we focus on what's most important is that we can play this game using the skills, that the physical aspect and people getting hurt never plays too much of a role. I already feel that in the last, if I compare the way hockey was played in 2010 compared to how it's been played in 2020, it's gotten so much more physical, and slowly, bit by bit, we've also adjusted the rules that we allow certain things. So referees have been, if they want it or not, they've been allowing more, which has made the game way more physical than it was back in the day. And that is something I think we need to be careful of. I mean, you need to protect the game, and the skills of the game still have to be the most important thing, not the physical side. That's my opinion.
No, I think that's a very valid opinion, and I very much totally agree with you. So, no boring back and forth. So, who do you think is the most exciting player to watch on the international stage at the minute?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. Who do I enjoy watching? I enjoy watching Tom Craig from Australia because it's just incredible how explosive he is. And whether he scores or not or whether he loses the ball, it doesn't really matter to me, because it's just, that's the type of person I'd go to the stadium for. When I look at the Dutch national team, I like to watch Floris Wortelboer, because I think he's one of the best right defenders in the world. And I think he has the capabilities to run. He has the capabilities to pass. And he's just a guy that likes to go forward. Wallace is fun to watch from the English national team. Obviously, he has an incredible, he's improved so much in the last few years. So he's fun to watch because he also likes to go for a goal as quick as he can. Who else is there? I think Jorrit Groen in top form is a lot of fun to watch, because he was obviously a really talented player. I played with him for many years, but he was struggling to get his efficiency in there, his assists, his goals, and if you're an offensive midfielder, you need to get your assists and goals in there. Otherwise, it's not exactly very efficient what you're doing if it's all skills but no results. I'm not saying he had that, but he's improved in that so much. He's getting on the score sheet more. He's getting in the offensive D more. He's getting more PCs. He's getting more assists. So I'm really happy to see that. He's really developed really well in the last 2 years. So that's cool. He's fun to watch. And then there is, who else is there? I have to say, I'm a big fan of Van Aubel from Belgium. I've admired his game for a long time, especially because I'm a bit older than he is, but we've been playing in the same years, and we played a similar position. We were playing in the front line, but we were a little bit like a number 10, being the contact lead and many times on the assist end. And he is still so important for the Belgium team. And I really feel like he's a really important, maybe if not the most important player for the Belgium team and their success in the last years. So I enjoy watching him because he just really knows what he's doing, and he has really high efficiency in everything that he does. So when it comes to a valuable player, that's what people always talk about, a most valuable player, I think he is really, really valuable for the Belgian team. And when it comes to the big games, he's always there, whether it's a shootout. I think he scored in the Olympic final as well as the World Cup final, the last one. So yeah, I admire him as well. It's a couple of players from India that I also like to watch, but then again, you feel like their style is changing. They're playing more and more Western hockey, and I feel they have to stick to their unique selling points, because they have some of the craziest skillful players in the world. But I feel like now they're trying to play really conservative, and obviously it might get them some more results. But when it comes to who I go to the stadium for, then I'd like to see them play with their heart a bit more than their mind. There's a few players. I probably missed a few as well, but they're the first ones that popped in.
And as a final question, you're given a blank check to sign one player to Rotterdam for next season.
Well, like in his prime or like now?
Anyone active now.
Active now. That's a tough one. I think we lost Adam Dixon because he's going back to England. So we need a central midfielder. And then if I look at who is at the moment the best central midfielder in the world, then I might say Jonas de Geus from the Dutch national team. But I also like Victor Wenier. I think he would suit Rotterdam really well. I think one of those two. Is that a good answer? That's a good answer. Jonas de Geus is amazing.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
Thank you very much to Hertzberger for joining me. Be sure to go and check out Hertzberger TV on YouTube, and leave a comment if there's anyone else you'd like to see appear on Brand Pitch.